Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And one of my favorite guests ever that I've ever had on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show is who is coming back. Michael Bruce, the sleep doctor. He taught Dr. Oz and I everything, plus a lot more that we've probably forgotten about sleep and about how to get healthy sleep and how to do it better, how to choose a mattress. He did everything, taught us about sleep hygiene. And then he had these great question-answer periods with us. But he hasn't been on in probably 2 or 3 years on my show. He's been on the Dr. Oz show plenty of times. I would guess 10 times a year or so.
Yep.
The Power of When, though, is his new book, Discover Your Chronotrope, and the best time to eat lunch, ask for a raise, have sex, write a novel, take your meds, and more. You know, when I saw this book title, I had two initial responses. Michael, one was, oh, this is, has to be BS, I can't believe it, and the other was, it can't be BS because you wrote it, and I know how good you are. So we're going to go over the evidence as well as going where the quiz is. You can take a quiz and discover your chronotrope at thepowerofwhen.com. I did it, and I'll tell Michael what I came out. He probably can guess since he and I know each other. But in any case, the power of when. Michael, tell me a little bit about this. This segregates people. I always thought of people as you put in, I think in the first chapter, you talk about the whether you're a, what are the birds? I can't even remember.
Early bird and the night owl.
The early bird and the night owl. And there's a lark in there someplace. Anyway,
right.
Tell me how you why.
Sure.
How does why people aren't just early and late? Mm-hmm. And by the way, chronobiology is what this is based on, and there's some really good data in there to in the book. But I first learned about chronobiology in 1963 or something like that, when I was taking a course in physiology by William Ganong, who said, and this always stuck with me, so I remember chronobiology. He said, men have their peak cortisol levels at 4 a.m., women at 4 p.m., which he said was probably the genesis. The only time they're about the same is at noon. That's the genesis of the nooner.
Right. Exactly.
Anyway.
That's funny.
That's how I remember chronic. So we have circadian rhythms or rhythms, but talk to us about the rhythms of the day. For people who are listening and want to remember, this is, and want to hear it again, this is podcast 819, Michael Bruce, The Power of When, Discover Your Chronotrope, and the Best Time to Eat Lunch, Ask for a Raise, Have Sex, Write a Novel, Take Your Meds, and More. You can stop us now. I'll let you stop it now and go to thepowerofwhen.com and take the quiz. We'll wait. Come back. But in any case, we'll keep going. You just have to pause us because Michael Bruce is here.
So first of all, thank you for having me on the show. I miss being on the show, and I certainly love being a regular contributor. It is a show that I personally enjoy quite a bit and listen to fairly often. So thank you for all that you do, Dr. Roizen. It's really, truly fantastic.
Thank you.
So let's talk about chronotypes for a second here. And so, you know, chronotype is kind of a big fancy word, and a lot of people don't know what it means. But in fact, most people have actually heard of these distinctions before, right? And so most people have heard that there are people out there that are early birds, right? Those people that wake up at the crack of dawn. And then there are those people that are night owls who don't want to go to sleep until very, very late in the night. I've treated patients like this throughout my career. Many of them have what's called phase advance syndrome or phase delay syndrome, where their body clock is not in rhythm with their whole social world. And, you know, a lot of it came together with a patient that I had about 3 years ago. She came in to see me for insomnia. And I was working. We were probably 3 or 4 sessions in. And by that time, usually I've got
people sleeping. So we ought to tell people what insomnia is. It's a problem with sleep. So yeah, where you can't either get back to sleep or go ahead,
correct.
Describe it. You're better. You're the sleep doc.
No. So she had come to me because she was having a hard time falling asleep, which is one of the hallmark symptoms of insomnia, which can be either having problems falling asleep, staying asleep, or waking up too early. And I was working with her using some cognitive behavioral techniques, so no pharmaceutical, all talk therapy. And quite honestly, Michael, it wasn't working. And it bothers me when my treatments aren't working. And so I'm like a dog with a bone. So I dug in and I started to learn more. And when I learned from her, she said, "Dr. Bruce, I don't have a hard time falling asleep and I don't have a hard time staying asleep." She said, "I sleep at the wrong time." And I said, "What do you mean by that?" And she said, "If I could go to bed at 2 a.m. and wake up at 9 a.m., my life would be fantastic." And I said, "Well, okay, why don't you do that?" And she said, "Well, I have a family and I have a job and I have all these different things, and none of them will allow me to do that." And I said, "Oh, okay, well, this makes a little bit more sense to me." And I had dealt with people who had shift work disorder. And as you know, Michael, I have two teenagers. And if anybody remembers their teenage years or has teenagers that's out there listening, or grandchildren that are teenagers even, you'll know that they love to stay up late and sleep late. And I thought, this is what this woman has got going on. And so I said, "You know, I'd love to run an experiment with you. I said, may I call your boss?" And she said, "You can." She said, "But I have a feeling that he's not too happy with me, and I'm concerned that I might get fired." And I said, "Don't worry, let me just give him a shout." So I give him a call, and I explain who it is, and he said, "Yep, I'm going to fire her in a week." And I said, "Oh my gosh, wow, this is serious." I said, "I think she has a misaligned chronotype. I think that she's really a night person, and we've got her doing things during the day. Would it be possible for her to just come in about 2 hours later? So instead of being at the office by 8, she could be at the office by 10. And instead of staying until 5 or 6, can she stay till 7? Would you be amenable to that?" And he said, "I'll try anything at this point." And I called him back a week later, and he said, "Dr. Bruce, I don't know what you did, but she's showing up at the right time. She's participating in meetings. Her work product is fantastic. She's not falling asleep at her desk. This is a miracle." So I said, "Awesome." So I called up the patient to tell her all the good news, and her husband got on the phone, and he said, "I don't know what you did, but I like my wife more." And I thought, what a powerful thing to say.
Wow, that is a powerful thing to say.
You know, and he said, "She gets along better with my children." He said that she and I aren't fighting as much. He said, "This is really fascinating." And so I said, "Wow, I've got to dig in." And so I went into the medical literature on chronotypes. And I had always heard of the early bird night owl, but it turns out that there actually are more than that. Some researchers would claim that there are actually 7 different chronotypes. I've discovered, at least in my practice and what I think is in the general population, to be 4. And I went to see if there was some sort of an assessment tool, some sort of way that we could figure out what we were. And all of the questionnaires that were out there only told you, are you an early bird or are you a night owl? It left out everybody in between, number one. And number two, it didn't talk anything about my insomnia patients. And so I said, well, this isn't right. Let me delve into the research. I found over 350 studies looking at all these different chronotypes and different things that were going on with them. And I said, okay, I need to broaden this scope. And so I created this quiz. So for everybody out there that's listening, if you'd like, you can go to thepowerofwhenquiz.com and you can take the quiz. It'll take you about a minute, maybe a little longer. It's 35 questions long. And it gives you a free report, tells you all about your chronotype and what you are. Then I said to myself, I want to go back to this patient. I want to talk to her a little bit more. And she said, you know, now that I understand that my timing should be shifted a little different, she said, I've figured out that I have time zones. And I said, what on earth are you talking about, time zones? And she said, I discovered that there are certain times of day where I do things better than others. She said, when I get in the morning, that's not the time for me to do analytical information. That's the time for me to be creative, because I find myself to be more creative in the morning and more analytical and detail-oriented in the afternoon. And I said, well, that's fascinating. And she started listing off all these things that she had started to notice. And when I went back into the literature, I discovered that there are very particular times of day based on a person's hormone distribution. So as you know, and as most endocrinologists know, that there are different hormones that are very, very predictable. We know when the cortisol is going to be up and down. And for those of you out there who don't know what cortisol is, that's the fight or flight hormone. That's the hormone that gives you like super energy to get out of someplace if you need to. We know when testosterone is high and low. We know when estrogen is high and low. We even know when melatonin is high and low if we want to make a sleep reference. And so I decided to see if I could match the timing of hormones to particular activities based on someone's chronotype, and would they improve? And lo and behold, we found 50 different activities out there. Everything from when to have sex to when to eat a cheeseburger to when to run a mile. That made a lot of sense from
now before you go on, I've got to ask you about this when to have sex. Should you and your potential partner do this quiz to make sure you're compatible before you get married? Have you looked at that?
So that's so funny that you say that. So I'm convinced that I need to go call up like Match.com, you know, the dating site.
Right.
Because I think people need to be sleep compatible. But there's actually, in my book, I have a chapter all about when to have sex. And I actually created a matrix, because a lot of times people aren't necessarily married to somebody that's the same chronotype. So as an extreme example, what if your partner is an early bird and you are a night owl? When's the best time to have sex? And it's very interesting. If you want, I can tell you a little bit about that data.
Go to it. I can't resist.
Okay. So first of all, when you look at the data about what time do people generally speaking have sex, generally speaking, most people have sex around 11, 1130 at night. And it's all 72% of the time, it's based on convenience, right? I'm there. My partner is there. We're not wearing nearly as many clothes as we were before. The lights are out. You turn over and say, hey, you interested? They say, yeah, sure. Why not? And there you go, right? There's not a lot of desire sometimes. There's not as much passion sometimes as you might like. And so you look at what hormones are necessary to have that desire, to have that passion, and to have that performance that a lot of us are looking for during sexual activity. And so the hormones that we want are estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, cortisol, that fight or flight one, and adrenaline. We want those to be high, and we want melatonin, which is our sleep hormone, to be low. Well, I'll give you one guess as to what happens at 11 o'clock at night.
It's the wrong time.
Exactly. It's exactly the opposite. All of those hormones that you want to be high are low, and all of the hormones that are low, you want to be high. So it's fascinating because everybody's having sex at the wrong time. So everybody's heard it here from the sleep doctor. You should attempt to have sex at least every once in a while in the morning. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, Mike, Mother Nature has been telling us this since the dawn of time, because most men wake up with an erection, right? If that is not a signal from Mother Nature that it's time to have sex, I don't know what is.
And now that erection in the morning, I was always told, was due to rapid eye movement sleep and its effect on your blood flow. Is that right? What causes that erection in the morning? And does that, if independent of chronotrope, does everyone have the erection? Does every guy have the erection in the morning?
So almost all men have erections in the morning, depending upon their levels of testosterone. But we know that testosterone happens to hit a high point in the morning. So I use that as an example for people to say, look, if your body is telling you that this is the thing that you want to consider doing, you know, consider doing it. And so what I did was I created a matrix. So in the book, you can put in your chronotype on one side and your partner's chronotype on another side, and it will actually tell you a time in the early evening when your hormones are at their peak and a time in the early morning when your hormones are at a peak, depending upon what your schedules look like. But it actually gives people a prescripted time to have sex. And so far, everybody that I've had read the book and you know, use the information, they're all reporting back that it's awesome.
Now, Mike, the other thing when you look at it, I mean, you've got this table, fight with your partner compatibility chart, if you will. When's the best time for fighting, if you will, et cetera. But one of the things I'm wondering is, do you have any data on this? Should you be the same chronotrope or an opposite chronotrope to live longer together?
To, li- to live longer together? You mean like to have a
meaning to stay together? Do you know? Yeah. I mean, do likes stay together longer, or do? So you've got four. We should tell people you've got four types in here. We're never going to get all the information I want done. But so let's talk about it. Four types. What are they?
So I've renamed the early bird and the night owl. And so I actually use animals from the animal kingdom that represent these times in their lives. These are animals that are in these chronotypes. So you're no longer an early bird, you're a lion. And lions are, actually Dr. Oz is a lion. Lions are my leaders. Lions are my, they have a tendency to be the COOs of a company. They like to make a list every day and go from step one to step two to step three. They like to go in a very particular order. They like to wake up around 5:30 in the morning, and they're very happy going to bed at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. And it's very funny because lots of people say, oh gosh, I wish I was a lion. But you know, lions don't have everything there is to have. As an example, a lot of lions can't go to dinner and a movie at night because they fall asleep at the movies because they've been up since 5 o'clock. So pros and cons in that direction. The people in the middle are what I call a bear. So bears actually make up the majority of society. Roughly 50% of people are bears. And what's fascinating about them is these have a tendency to be my extroverts. These are my people in the village, if you were, who are getting things done all day long. They work hard. They play hard. These are the people who, if you sat down at lunch with a bear, they tell you the funny story from last night, or they'd be talking about the latest issue of Game of Thrones or something kind of fun and interesting like that. Wolves are my night people. I happen to be a wolf. I rarely go to bed before midnight because that's just how my body is wired. I don't get tired at that time. I'm not interested in anything up until that point. I'm just kind of, I'm more wolfish. And mornings are terrible. I'm not a big morning fan. I'd much rather wake up and have nobody speak to me and kind of get my stuff done. Also, wolves have a tendency to be a little bit on the introverted side, as well as very, very creative. And so my wolves are people who are my artists, who are my musicians, who are my actors, authors, people like that. And then finally, I have a category called dolphins. And I use dolphins because dolphins only sleep with one half of their brain at a time, because the other half has to be alert and swimming and looking for predators. And I thought this was a great representation for my people with problem sleep or insomnia. My dolphins are really interesting people. They're not great sleepers, but in fact, they're highly intelligent, and they have a tendency to be a little bit obsessive compulsive. And sometimes those obsessions and compulsions prevent them from actually being as productive as they want to be. Dolphins are great if you give them a task and put them in a cubicle and kind of let them go. And so these are the four categories. And once somebody takes the quiz, they know what category they fall in. And then once you know that, it's kind of this guide to the book. And so the book will tell you a day in the life of each one of these chronotypes that would be, you know, just the way you want it to be. Or you can actually go to specific activities, like the one we were just talking about, which is having sex. I've got ones in there about taking medications. I've got ones in there about fighting with your partner, things of that nature.
Michael, I'm going to have you back. The book is called, this is a wonderful book, The Power of When, Discover Your Chronotrope, and The Best Time to Eat Lunch, Ask for a Raise, Have Sex, Write a Novel, Take Your Meds, and More. Michael Bruce, B-R-E-U-S. He is also known in my language as the sleep doctor, because he is wonderful and can teach you everything you want to know about sleep. I'm going to tell you my scores. You can go to your own, thepowerofwhen.com. But in our next, actually it'll be 2 weeks, because we've got a guest lined up for next week, Kristen Kirkpatrick, who talks about skinny liver, also is often on the Dr. Oz show, as well as a number of other shows just like you. She will be talking about how to get a skinny liver and why eating liver isn't good for your liver. But you have written a wonderful book, The Power of When. I love it. The Best Time to Eat Lunch, Ask for a Raise, Have Sex, Write a Novel, Take Your Meds, and More. I'm going to make you guess my type beforehand, Mike, and then I'm going to tell you what it is. But that's next time on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, a show that lets you take control of your health. Now, if you're listening to the show, it's between, and it just released, it's the 27th of December 2016. You probably have an Amazon gift card. Go to Amazon and order The Power of When. If you got money left over, order skinny liver. You will want to. If you still have money left over, you can order age proof. The skinny liver comes out at the end of January, age proof the end of February, but the one you definitely want, because it's so fun to read and to do the tests on, The Power of When. If you're listening later, go and buy it anyway. It's a great book. This is you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We'll be back next week on Tuesday, 7 a.m. We release the top news stories of the prior week and a great interview, and just like this one, with Dr. Michael Bruce, and we'll be back in 2 weeks on the 10th of January with Michael Bruce again. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back, and Kevin, thanks for great engineering.